accession number 32297, reel 28.
Can I beat him?
John Dixon, reel 28.
Yeah.
How were you sort of prepared for the disbandment of the squadron, or were you prepared for it at all?
I was not prepared for it at all. I don't think any of us were. I can remember, I've only got to look in the logbook. I think it was the 16th of December 1956, which was just happened to be the day before my birthday, but never mind. We were flying an ordinary exercise from Ford. I forget whether it was a navigation exercise. I don't think we had a submarine to play with on that particular day. But it was a two-hour flight, and in the back with me there was my regular observer, who was Maurice Humphreys, who went on to become a commander RNR, and a chap called Dennis Rice, who I'd first met out in Sydney in 1945, and he lived at Guildford, so we'd become quite good friends. In fact, I think I'm godfather to his child, but never mind. Now, we flew this exercise. It was a Sunday, yeah. And we landed back at Ford. And I can remember it as well as anything. It was the most perfect landing. There was hardly a bounce. And these two lads in the back were tickled pink. They said, "Oh, what a brilliant landing." And that was it. We taxied in, we folded the wings, pulled all the observer stuff out of the back. "Well done, lads, we're off for Christmas now. See you in the new year." And off we went on, you know, because things shut down over Christmas, so that was it. We expected to go back in January and take it up again. During that period, and this is, there's a slight variance here, I'm convinced that during that Christmas period we got this letter from the Admiralty just saying that so basically, don't call us, we'll call you. We don't want you anymore. No, it wasn't said quite as brutally, but they said that the RNVR squadrons were disbanded as of, and there would be no more flying. Why I said slightly at variance, I've got a friend who in fact said he did go back and flew at the beginning of January. Obviously he was in the other squadron, so maybe they were on duty and we weren't. But we had no knowledge that this was going to happen. It wasn't just us. I mean, with all the RNVR squadrons, and some were flying fighters and jets by then. Now, I often ask myself, had we been told in advance that this was going to happen, people might have started doing rather silly things, you know, because it was their going to be their last flight or something. I never knew it was going to be my last flight in a Navy aeroplane, and that was it. It was like being hit between the eyes, really. Because apart from the joy of flying, we thought we were doing a pretty good job. Well, we were, because we knew that had been a requirement as a squadron, we could have operated with the fleet just the same as any regular squadron. We were that fully worked up, no question about it. And the other thing, which is a bit irrelevant now, but because of my young age when I first started all this story way back when, I was just coming up to getting my half stripe, in other words becoming a lieutenant commander, which happened after you'd done, I suppose, 8 years as a lieutenant. And my birthday happened to come just after we'd finished flying. So I would have gone back in the new year had we continued as a lieutenant commander. Wouldn't have made any difference except for a little bit of extra pay when we flew. But
did it leave a big hole, obviously, the no longer having that comradeship? And
yes, I mean, the other thing was, and again, you ask yourself in later life, did I decide to do the right thing? Quite a lot of the lads went on and continued in the RNVR, but in a non-flying role. They started doing things like photographic interpretation and cloak and dagger stuff and all sorts of various things. As I said, my observer, Maurice Humphreys, who was just a lieutenant like I was at the time, he continued in a signals role and took command of an RNVR signals group somewhere or other, and eventually became commander. So, it was possible to continue in a non-flying. Dennis Rice, who I mentioned, he stayed in, and I think he got involved with air raid precautions or something like that. But to me, and I think you probably understand this, if I couldn't fly an aeroplane, I didn't want to know. I mean, I was not that keen.
Well, just really to sum it up, how do you feel now about your time flying with the fleet?
I've got absolutely no regrets at all, Richard. I mean, I didn't go to university. I could have done after the war ended. I've got a sufficient higher school certificate. I could have gone up, and various friends of mine did go up. I chose not to. In a way, I regret that now. But my naval service and the fact that we'd travelled the world and done all we did was my education. I'd like to think that I grew up. Well, I'm sure I grew up as a result of it, considering I went in straight from school. So it was something I never regret. And the Navy was meant everything to me and still does. I mean, I'm lucky enough to still got my faculties, and I'm often asked to go and give talks and lectures to people about it. And to me, the Navy was absolutely brilliant, and I only hope that that these two big aircraft carriers we're now talking about will eventually come to fruition, and that there will be a future for the Fleet Air Arm. I think it's essential that we should carry on like that.